And hello, everyone. I'm T.D. Worthington, pastor of the Pathway Baptist Church in Goldsboro, North Carolina. And this is Pathline. And once again, we count it a real privilege to be able to speak with you today. Oh, for the next 25, 30 minutes or so, as we have Bible study, fellowship. We've got some music coming your way. And also a message from the Word of God. The message today is entitled Risking Your Wrath. Risking Your Wrath. And we'll be talking about that right now in just a few moments. Again, we thank you for tuning in. I've got just enough time to tell you, though, very quickly about Christian Bible College. If you're interested in beginning or continuing your theological educational program, let me encourage you to check out Christian Bible College. Since 1980, we've been offering a biblically sound, home-based theological study program that can lead you to a degree, whether it's a bachelor's degree or a general diploma that you want, maybe a master's or even up to the PhD level that we can offer you. So we just encourage you to check it out if you're interested. A lot of Christian school teachers are taking advantage of our program, as well as pastors, evangelists, and missionaries. And I encourage you to check it out. Again, that's ChristianBibleCollege.org. I think you'll find some information there that will help you, or perhaps might help someone else. If you have someone in your family or relative or someone that you know, maybe even your pastor or a friend that's a Christian school teacher, and you wonder if they might be interested, get them also to check it out if you will. Again, that's ChristianBibleCollege.org. In just a moment, our message for today, which is entitled Risking Your Wrath. Right now, though, just before today's message, here's Tony Gore and Majesty.
Throne, and if you'll simply just
For today's scripture, we're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter number 24. Matthew in chapter number 24. And the message is entitled, Risking Your Wrath. I'd like to read with you, if I could, just a couple of verses of scripture. Matthew 24, can I first read verse number 9, where the word of God says, Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Can I read to you, please, verse number 11? And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And then can I read to you, please, in verse number 11, where the word of God says this, many false prophets shall arrive and shall deceive many. Can I read to you now verse number 10, where the word of God says, And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. I want you to notice the word offended there and also the word deceived in those verses. May I make a statement to you today? And the statement is this, the only thing that should offend a spirit-filled Christian is sin. Can I repeat that? I said the only thing that should offend a spirit-filled Christian is sin. And even then, they are offended at how that sin is grieving God. If you're hurting someone I love very much, I am offended at that, and that causes the offense. In other words, for many of us, we will take offense toward ourselves, and we can deal with that. We might even forgive 70 times 7. I don't know. But the point is, if you are hurting someone I love, for an example, in my case, maybe I would say my wife or my children, then I'm not quite as tolerant of your attack as I would be if you were attacking me. The only time in Scripture that Jesus appeared to be offended was the occasion of the money changers in the temple. You're familiar with that story. This is Jesus, the one who was not offended when he was slapped, the one who was not offended when his beard was plucked out by the roots, not offended when he was beaten, when he was mocked, but now apparently he does seem to be offended. Why? Well, he references Isaiah 56:7, where the word of God says, Make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. This is the words Isaiah gives us from the Father. Jesus then was offended because it was a sin against his Father. It's as if he said, this sin is hurting my Father, and I am offended at that. I am angered by that. Now, this should also be the norm for God's children. We shouldn't get offended for every little thing that goes on in life, everybody that rubs us the wrong way, everyone who disagrees with us about something. That should not cause us offense. But if someone is sinning, and we know that sin is hurting God, our Father, our Lord Jesus, then that might indeed offend us. So can I make my comment again? The only thing that should offend a spirit-filled Christian is sin, and even then they are offended not because that sin's vented toward them, but how that sin is vented is grieving God, and in other words, you're hurting God, and therefore that causes offense. Never has a society been offended or insulted by other people's ideas more than in this modern era. People, including sadly many Christians, are always mad at someone because of some offense. I know some Christians right now, probably got a dozen people they're mad with, a dozen people they're not speaking to, a dozen people they're offended with in some fashion or form. That list is updated regularly. Well, I'm not speaking to him. I'm not talking to him. I don't want anything to do with him. All right. I remember a television show years ago. I'm showing my age again, and called The Incredible Hulk. I think there's been some movies or something since then. But back then, years ago, I think it was Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno, I believe, were playing in that. And there's the story of this mild-mannered fellow who turned into a raging monster if he became upset with someone. Now, he tried to keep this a secret, but it wasn't always possible. Can you imagine if others knew what might happen if they said or did something he didn't like? I mean, this guy automatically grows muscles, he splits his clothes, and he goes off and causes all kinds of damage because you said something, you did something he didn't like. I would picture everyone wanting to speak softly and walk very carefully around a man who at any moment could be triggered into an unreasoning, destructive monster. You'd always be on edge. Can you imagine if you invited this fellow to your house? Well, number one, you probably wouldn't do it. But if you did, you might warn your family, you know, to keep things stress-free. No tension, no surprises. And above all, don't say anything he might not like. Don't say anything that might cause any tension with this fellow. Now, here's my question. You remember the story of Hulk. All right. Here's my question. Do you know anyone like that? Someone who at any given moment has a long list of people they don't like or that they're offended with? Are you that kind of person where everyone has to walk on eggshells or risk your wrath? Or you may not display it like Hulk, of course, but it may seethe underneath, but it's there nevertheless, and it hurts and it causes damage. On the other hand, perhaps you know someone who is easygoing, level-headed, and seemingly always calm. They always seem to have a lid on their emotions. These people go through life remarkably unoffended by the very things that put other people in direct orbit. Sadly, in this age we're living in right now, this kind of unflappable mindset, someone with untouchable emotions, is a rarity because it seems like every corner of society seems poised to take offense. You make one thoughtless comment, or even just one opinionated comment for that matter, and you'll likely find yourself overwhelmed by a tidal wave of hatred on both sides, the right and the left, liberals and conservative, Republican and Democrats. Those who claim to be right will take personal offense with anyone who will not completely agree with him. And sometimes that transfers even to the area of Christianity. If you don't like something I say, then I am totally offended at you. Of course, there's a modern day innocence to it all, because we usually don't go out into the street and have shootouts unless you live in some of our major cities. If someone says something you don't like, you don't go out and have a duel with them. You don't go burn their house or anything, at least in most cases. Yet there is something deeper and dangerous going on with all the offense being taken today. A moment ago, I read to you a section of scripture, Matthew chapter number 24, and we notice the word offended. Jesus said many are going to be offended. He says in me. As it's used here, it means they're enticed. They're enticed to follow a course of action which leads to ruin. They're following a course of action that leads to a trap, and they are trapped by their emotions. It finds its root in the word that represents the trigger device of a trap. In other words, they move towards something that's going to hurt them, but they move toward it anyway. They are offended, and it's going to hurt them. There's going to be fallout. It's probably going to hurt others. This is significant because Jesus himself said this. He said, again, I'm in Matthew 24, picking up in verse number 8, all these are the beginning, he said, of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Many shall be offended. He's stating that many in these latter days are going to be offended, and they are offended by offended. He means move to another opinion, an opinion that's going to trap them, an opinion that's going to hurt them, led to a trap, something that's ultimately they're going to pay a high price for because they are getting offended at something they should not be offended over. Even as we hear this, we may be thinking, but this is different. Isn't it okay to be repulsed by someone's bad behavior? Isn't it okay to be offended and repulsed by someone's vile sin? If it is a sin that is obviously against God's will, taking offense might be in order if you handle it properly. But my experience is that most people go ballistic over stupid stuff, childish stuff, simple stuff. So why does the Bible use such a negative word to describe being offended? Many church splits are caused by people who are offended, but many times it's not over doctrine. I realize today in some cases it certainly is, but I'm saying many cases it's not about doctrine. It's about some silly mess. Choosing to allow ourselves to be offended is a double-edged sword. It's a sword that cuts both internally and externally. The outside is the easiest to see, of course. It always is, especially now that social media has given us a front row seat to so many people's scorn. If you say something someone don't like, you'll be blasted on social media, sometimes by dozens of people, sometimes hundreds of people. But beneath the outward disdain is a dangerously unrealistic internal assumption that warps our ability to view others correctly. What right do we have to be offended at someone else's opinion or beliefs in the first place? We certainly have the right to disagree with another's stance. I'm not saying that. We certainly have that right. But to take a personal affront to the beliefs of another speaks honestly to something else entirely, doesn't it? It's as if we've adopted the type of selfish mindset that expects everyone to shape their every thought and response to what we've chosen to believe and what we've determined ourselves to be right. Sometimes we even take the stance that our taking offense is a spiritual posture. It's one of speaking truth. I'm speaking for God here. Combating lies and championing what is right. This may be true or it may not be, but in the words of Paul, it sometimes doesn't matter if we're right or wrong. If we don't have love, we're nothing but religious noise anyway, according to 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 2. We assume that our view is without any error, and everyone else's assessment must line up with ours or else be wrong. The second step, then, is to presume that an opinion that dares not to align with our own is a sign that the core nature of that person is corrupt. That person is corrupt. If not, they wouldn't be saying that. The instant we make this stance and take this stance in a relationship, we perform the incredibly treacherous act of stepping into the shoes of God. There's also more to the sin of taking offense. At root, our easily offended hearts are full of pride and idolatry. We've set ourselves up as the standard of what is right and what is good and what must be honored. Then any perceived challenge to that assumption results in anger, resentment, and taking up of an offense. But you see, we're not the standard. God is. He's the standard because only He can see into the hearts and discern the motives of each of us. We can be free to assume the best of others, trusting that He will judge perfectly in the end. We can have the good sense to be slow to anger because we can become gloriously unoffendable in so many areas. The point is this, we don't belong in the judge's seat in the courtroom. We belong down the aisle with everybody else, standing before the greatest judge of all. I don't need to step behind the judge's bench. That's not my place. We need to step away from that judge's seat if we're there and acknowledge that not only are our own opinions often wrong, but we also can't see into others' hearts and minds to evaluate their motivations. And even if we could, and their opinions were found to be sinful, could we honestly say that our own are always pure themselves? Of course not. And herein lies the great caution that Jesus gave His disciples about removing the beam from their own eye before they went about trying to pick splinters out of someone else's eyes. We have no room to find anyone offensive because our hearts reek of selfishness and pride just as badly as anybody else. There's great freedom to be found in not being offendable. So may I ask again, are others walking on eggshells around you? Are you like the Hulk, You're pretty easygoing. You're a mild-mannered individual. But boy, you let somebody say something you don't like and you go ballistic in a hurry. Are you like the Hulk? If so, the offense you are taking is a trap. And that trap is going to destroy your testimony. It can destroy your friendships and maybe even your closest relationships. And it's also going to hurt, ultimately, it's going to hurt your walk with God. A humble, realistic view of our own ideas, our own motivations, our own spiritual state before God makes us quite nearly bulletproof to being bent out of shape by other people's opinions or their words or their actions. And it frees us up to have courage. The courage to be kind to those around us. Being undefendable gives us space to love God as God intended us to love Him, and to love others as God intended us to love others. It's not my intention to offend anyone with this message. I understand that. However, if I did, risk your wrath in this message today by sharing this little lesson. Perhaps it's the Holy Spirit using it for your benefit of your life. Can I make my comment again that I began with today? The only thing that should offend a Spirit-filled Christian is sin. And even then, they're offended at how that sin is grieving God, hurting God, not because they're hurting me. And again, we follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. So much wrong was done to Him, but He never seemed to be offended. Mistreated, spoken about, lied about, all kinds of things. And yet, it doesn't appear He ever got His dandruff up, so to speak, over it. But we do read about one time, He said, "You have sinned against My Father. You've turned My Father's house into a den of thieves." It's supposed to be a house of prayer. He said, "You've hurt My Father." He was angry at their sin, but not what their sin was doing to Him, but what their sin was doing to the Father, His Father, whom He loved. Well, I tell you what I've shared with you today is a difficult lesson, to say the least. It is a very difficult lesson, to say the least, because so often we find ourselves offended at things that are going on around us. And many times, you know, it's not because someone has sinned. It's not because someone has done something against the Lord. It's because they've done something against us. Now you might say, well, that's sinning against God. Oftentimes, if they're sinning, I understand that. But it's not that we always have that right to judge those situations. We don't always have all the information. And certainly, to be offended so often is to fall into a trap that's going to hurt us and others around us. Well, until next time, this is T.D. Worthington saying may God richly bless you is our prayer. Until next time, you have a wonderful week as you walk with our Lord.